Production. Recorded live.
Amen. Tonight we are talking about the last segment that is in our teaching tonight for School of Prophets, and that is merchandising the anointing. This teaching is broken up into two segments. Does not mean that we're going to have two different classes, but just it's broken up into two different parts. And it's only because we need to be able to deal with two different, you know, parts of the teaching, and this is why it has been segmented that way. We're going to start off first in our books, and this is the last part of your book before you get to the suggestions for reading, you know, that's in the back of your book. It says for your edification and growth. Before you get to that, it's one last segment, and it's called Merchandising the Anointing, Part 1. All right. And before I really get into this lesson, I want to explain why I even got into this part. I think that it's paramount that we understand as men and women of God, no matter what it is that God has called us to do in ministry, that we understand that we have got to operate in integrity. There has been so many different things that have taken place in the body of Christ that has brought shame on the name of Jesus Christ, has brought shame to the church. And it's because people have gone out and have not had a foundation and have not operated in integrity. And it is so important that we do this. Ministry is not about our name being in lights. It has nothing to do with having our name on a marquee and getting open doors and having a busy itinerary. You know, ministry has nothing to do with that. And if we could ever get back to just preaching the gospel and sticking to the message that Jesus preached and sticking to the book, I believe that we'll begin to see souls saved again. I believe that we'll begin to see the power of God come back to the church. And even in all of that, we have to come back to the simplicity of knowing that these gifts that God has given to us, and even as we have read over and over and over again throughout this class, we have read Ephesians 4, we have, you know, just hammered that particular scripture because that those verses in Ephesians 4 talk about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and why God left these, not the gifts of the Spirit, but the gifts that Christ left to the body of Christ, the purpose of these gifts, and we cannot forget that God has set us here in the body so that we could edify the body, so that we could build up the body, amen, and not so that we could grease our pockets, not so that we could get rich, not so that we could be famous, and not so that, you know, somebody could know who our name is. The most important thing that you all must remember, and even myself must remember, no matter how many open doors you get, no matter how God uses you, it does not matter who falls in love with your ministry or whatever the case is, you must remember that it is God who has called you. You must remember that they may love you today, the people may love you today, but tomorrow it's going to be somebody else's name that they're going to be oohing and aahing about and that they're going to be all, you know, excited about, you know. And you need to remember that Jesus is the only one who is worthy of praise and honor and adoration. He said that his glory, God said his glory he will not share with another. And you must never take the stance that you feel that whatever God has given you, that you feel like people have to pay you for what God has given you. You must remember that these gifts that you possess have been given to you by God, and God has caused you to be a steward of the gifts that he has anointed you with, so that the people of God can be ministered to. Not so that you can be glorified, not so that you can be grand and glorious, but so that God can be glorified and so that his people can be blessed and that they can grow to the place that God has ordained them to grow to. All right? So in this age that we live in, and there is so much compromise in this age, we're seeing a great onslaught of Christian leaders for hire, and this is a big deal. If you have not paid attention to what's going on in the Christian circles, you know, call some of these preachers today that you see on the Word Network, and that you see on TBN, that you see or whatever the Christian station is that you're watching, and you will see that most of them will not even come to your church unless there is, number one, They send you a rider. That's what they call it, a rider. They send it to your church. It's a form that, number one, you got to fill it out. They want to know what type of venue is it that, you know, that they're coming to. They want to know what, how many people are there in your church. What kind of advertising are you doing for these meetings? They want to know, you know, how many people are you expecting in attendance in these particular meetings? And this is, you know, their whole goal, their whole aim. And they will not come to your church unless most of them, they require most of them. I won't say all of them, but most of them require some form of king suite at the hotel. They want their hotel paid for by you or your ministry. They want your you got to pay for their flight, okay? And then on top of that, some of them want limousine rides, you know what I'm saying? And then they're asking for astronomical amounts of money before they will even come. And I'm not talking about $500. I'm talking about $5,000, $10,000. To come to you to preach at your church, okay? And so it is a very, very sad report for Christendom. When we're trying to find men and women of God who have integrity and honor, people who say that they love God, people who say that, you know what I'm saying, that they want to be a blessing to the body of Christ, but their whole goal and their whole aim is that I got to get mine. I'm trying to get rich. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get my name in lights. And above and beyond all of that, I have got to be able to get paid. And this is what most of these leaders are talking about. And you as men and women, but I have to know that no matter what doors come open for you, you know what I'm saying, it's best for you to be able to pay your own way to and from wherever you have to go. You know what I'm saying? Never do something just for money. You got to remember, amen, that, you know, these gifts belong to God. He gave them to you to be a blessing to the saints. If people don't want to be a blessing to you, you don't have to fall out about it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, you cannot allow yourself to get caught up in the money game. You know what I'm saying? But it's all a game. Everything is for sale. We got, and it's nothing wrong with you writing books, you know what I'm saying? I believe that God wants to bless his people to write books and whatever. But it's, you know, it's everything is in a book deal. We are selling CDs for more than what they are worth, these ministry CDs. We're selling DVDs for more than what they are worth. We are selling everything. And this is why this particular segment of the teaching is called Merchandising the Anointed. Because what has happened is people have come to the place where we have put a sticker price on everything that we haven't even, it hasn't even originated with us. God has given it to us, and so now we want to merchandise it and we want to get rich off of it. And I really believe that God is not pleased with that mentality. Okay, and what really got me to the point to I had to add this part, and I, you know, initially this was not part of the book, you know, for School of Prophets, and just as time went on, and you know, the Lord began to deal with me, and I had read a book, it was on the same title, which was called Merchandising the Anointing, and it was written by Rick Renner. So if you don't have that book, you need to go get that book, Merchandising the Anointing. And I would recommend that book for every leader, every Christian leader. I would recommend it to up-and-coming leaders, people who are getting ready to go into ministry, people that you are training at your church, you know what I'm saying, need to read that book. This man wrote this book back in the 80s, and he was so ahead of his time. It was a prophetic word to the body of Christ concerning the spirit that was going to take over the church. Because during that time, it wasn't that prevalent that you would have so many people charging so much money to be able to come to your church to preach. And this is what has taken place. And so we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And I believe that part of the key to understanding 2 Peter chapter 2 is that you need to read the whole book of 1 Peter. And then you also need to read 2 Peter chapter 1 to understand what it is that Peter is trying to convey to these Christians and to these, you know, to these believers. There is a message that he is trying to get all right, you know, get over to these saints, and he wants them to have an understanding. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and I want to look at verse 1, and it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's look at verse 2. "And many, many, not a few, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness," underline that word in your Bible, "through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." I want to look at this because it's important that we understand. We can hoop and holler and shout and jump and do all those things, but I think it's important that we understand what God is requiring of us as leaders and as people of God. Nobody owes us anything. These gifts that God has given us, he has given it to us so that we could be a blessing to others. The scripture tells us, "Freely you have received, freely give." Now, I know that it costs money to drive up and down the highway. I know that it costs money to travel wherever we have to go. But there's a difference between meeting whatever your budget might be so that you can get from point A to point B and taking the people and raking them over the coals and fleecing them so that you can get what you want and grease your pockets. And this is the problem that I have with folks doing what they call charging honorariums. Let's look at the history of honorariums. Honorariums really initially began as speakers like college professors and secular speakers were charged because they were plenary, you know, they were plenary speakers on different programs and that kind of thing. And so there was a set fee that was reasonable that they would charge when they would go from platform to platform to speak on specific subjects. And somehow, you know, as we, you know, in the church became a little more educated, we began to learn that there was a such thing called honorarium. And so what did we do? We began to follow the pattern that the world set. Okay, so if these worldly people are getting paid to go from place to place and teach and speak or whatever it is that they're doing, why can't we do it so that we can, you know what I'm saying, make our money too? You know, and then we go back to the scripture, you know, well, the servant is, the workman is worthy of his hire. Don't muzzle the ox that tread the corn. We got all kind of things that we use to try to appropriate, you know, so that we can do what we want to do. We manipulate the word so that we can take advantage of people. And God is not pleased with that. You know what I'm saying? Whatever happened to us really believing with our whole heart that the just shall live by faith and that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you really believe that God sent you? Do you really believe that God has even given you a message? You know what I'm saying? Who gave you this message that you feel like that is so important that everybody hear it? And if your message is so anointed and is so powerful, why is it that somebody has to pay you in order for you to share it? And so we have got to get to the place that we look at what the Bible says and stick with the word and stop following what the world has said. We're not supposed to follow the precedent set by the world. We are the ones who set the standard. We are the ones who show the world what is right and what is just and what is holy. Amen. They don't know what is just and what is holy. They know what is wicked. They know what, amen, it means to take advantage of people. Amen. And last week we were talking about, you know, justice and honor and unjust balances and all those different things. We don't have any business going from platform to platform and charging folks for a message that's not even ours. The message belongs to God. God is the one who gives gives us these messages. God is the one by his spirit that have given us revelation and understanding into his word. So how dare we put a price on the gift that we didn't even buy ourselves? God gave us these gifts so that we would edify his people. And we have the nerve to try to charge for it. And so we need to repent. The church needs to repent. And we have to get to the place that we look to God for his instruction, for what it is that he has called us to do. And if you really believe that God has anointed you, then you got to also believe that if he opens the door for you, he's going to help pay the way. And I'm not saying that you're supposed to go somewhere and just let people take advantage of you or whatever the case is, but if what you have is so important, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and I remember once upon a time the saints would stay at one another's houses. You know what I'm saying? We would stay in one another's homes. But we have gotten so grand that we got to have a suite. You know, and not just that, but I need you to give me money to pay for my team, my evangelistic team that's coming with me. And I'm trying to figure out who invited your team. If your team want to come with you, then you need to pray and you need to, amen, you need to pay for your team to go from point A to point B with you. But because we have gotten into this business mentality, we have gotten into this mentality that we have got to have what we see the world have, you know, and because we want to make these, you know, we want to grow these big multi-million dollar ministries, and we feel like the more we have, that means that God is blessing us. But we forget that the scripture says that gain is not godliness. And all we really have to do is take a look at television and see these debacles that have taken place in front of our very eyes and see how everything has fallen apart for these very same people who thought that this was the way to follow. So now God is raising up a people that will go without price. And if you don't pay, it's all right. God is going to touch somebody's heart and make a way for his people to get from point A to point B. And that's all that matters. It's not about trying to get your pockets greased. Amen. But going back to the verse of scripture, it says in verse 1, the latter half, it says, there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. When we don't trust God for our very provision, then what happens is we have denied him. But instead, we think that we're making ourselves look wonderful by saying, you got to pay me $5,000 before I come to your church. Amen. And listen, if you're that wonderful, you need to go somewhere else, because we do not need you to come to our church. Amen. And we do not need you to come and preach nothing over here for $5,000. There's nothing, amen, that you got to say that's that important that I'm going to pay $5,000 for it. That's crazy. Amen. We got 66 books of word. Amen. So if I want a word that bad, I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to read it. And I'm not going to pay nobody to come over here and rake God's people over the coals and steal their bill money and proselyte to them just to try to get them to get some, give their money to them so they can go from city to city doing the very same thing. Amen. And so we got to get to the place where we don't tolerate this foolishness anymore. Amen. And I believe that if the saints of God would stop inviting these lying preachers to their churches, then they would be forced to get right. Because when they see that the doors are not opening anymore, then they're going to begin to question their own motives. Amen. They live in high off the hog in mansions. And instead of taking their riches and putting them into missions and taking that money and you know, you got people in these churches where these folks are pastoring and folks are struggling in their own communities, and they won't take out of their bank account because they feel like, look, this is what God blessed me with, you know. Amen. I remember, amen, a time, and we still do it today, when If there is a need, if the church don't have it, then we need to start looking in our own pockets so that we can make, amen, a way for those who have need. The Bible tells us that if our brother comes to us and he have a need, amen, and we have what it takes to meet his need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in us? So how can we say that we love God? We're living richer than we have ever lived before, but there are still people who are homeless. There are still people who are hungry. There are still people right here in our churches who are struggling to pay their bills every single month. But we're charging all these astronomical honorariums. God is not pleased. Verse 2, and it says that many shall follow their pernicious ways. This is the sad part. The sad part. The sad part is that there are people all over the world. Look at these services where these people charge all this money. Their services are packed to the gills. Their services, you got people who will travel. They will travel to another state to go hear a preacher, a lying preacher, a thieving preacher. And they won't even support the work at home. These people won't even pay their tithe and offering, give their offering to their home church. But they will go out and buy every tape, every book, every DVD series of these people who are charging these honorariums. And won't even support their own works at home. God is not pleased. Amen. And it says, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Do you know the church is looking at the world and saying, what in the world is going on? Even the sinners know that it is something wrong with the church living an overly extravagant life. There's something wrong when the only thing that matters to us is diamonds and furs and getting paid. Listen to the messages that are being preached today. Where are the messages of deliverance? But instead of hearing messages of deliverance, we hear, God is going to bless me. I'm going to get mine. I heard a preacher the other day talking about, he was all the way in Africa. God opened the door for him to preach in Africa. And do you know what he was preaching when he got to Africa? I'm on my way to the top. I'm climbing the ladder to the top. The top of what? The top of your game? What was he climbing to the top of? I don't understand that mentality. These people are hungry. And what is happening is this spirit is that is so infested the church. When we in America leave from here and go to other countries and preach in other countries, they follow after this spirit, thinking that this is the way that God has ordained for us to carry on, thinking that this is the way that the Lord wants us to preach and behave so that we too can be blessed. And so not only are we guilty of our own foolishness and our own error, but now there are people who have followed these same pernicious ways. And because of them, the way of truth has been evil spoken of. Look at verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. What do they do when they get these people in these arenas and they have these services in these, you know, these big auditoriums? You barely even see altar calls. And if they are doing an altar call, you know, the altar calls are, you know, come on down to the altar if you're ready to walk into your season. And, you know, all of y'all who tired of the same old thing, sick and tired of being, come on down here and, you know, I'm believing God for you and I'm going to decree a thing over you and I'm going to prophesy to you and speak to your bank account and speak to your wallet and speak to your pocketbook and all these kind of things. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe that, you know, that we always have to live a life where we broke and that God is not going to bless us. But prosperity does not just look like, you know, the dead presidents in our wallet. That's not the only thing that's prosperity. You know, the Bible says, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What happened to the prosperity of your inner man? Your inner man prospering, will cause everything else to line up with the will of God for your life. But how can we expect God to bless us with all these other material things when we're not running after him with our whole heart? So when you get these material things, you weren't thinking about God before you got them, and you're certainly not thinking about them after you get it. God is not a genie. And so it's important that we pay attention to the spirit of this age. We need to pay attention. Amen. So we have to look at how this message, you know, and how this spirit is resonating in the body of Christ. This scripture is talking about false prophets. Verse 1 in chapter 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." I've said it before and I'll say it again. The thing that makes a false prophet false is not that he prophesies or she prophesies. The thing that makes a prophet false is that he or she cannot live what they preach. He or she preaches a message that is not in his or her behavior. They can't live what's coming out of their mouth. They can talk a good game, but they can't, you know, they're talking about it, but they can't be about it. That's the problem. And we see too much of that in the body of Christ today. These false prophets. So in order to get a full understanding of what is being said here, we must do word studies. And also read in those previous chapters. Read the book of 1 Peter. See what it is that God was speaking to the people through Peter in that first book. Read chapter 1 in 2 Peter. See what God is saying. Stop looking at TV and pick up your Bible and read the word and see what God is saying to you in this hour. Let's follow what God is saying. Let's not just be caught, you know, silly people following, you know, after whatever everybody else is preaching and doing. Let's be men and women of integrity. Let's not worry about whether they're going to put money in our pocket. Preach the truth and keep moving. That's what God is looking for. And here's the deal. If you'll let them buy you now, and you haven't really even tapped into all that God has called you to do, if money is your motivation right now, then you can forget it. When you get out there and doors really start opening, you're not going to have any integrity. God is not going to be able to trust you with his message. What makes you think God is going to be able to trust you with his message? When you're going to the highest bidder. Your message is going to go to the highest bidder. Whoever pay you the most, that's what you're going to do. And I want you to just watch. Watch television and pay attention. Every church they go into, they know how to work that crowd. They know how to work the crowd. Most of them have taken classes in public speaking. You take a class in public speaking, they'll tell you how to work a crowd. Even when it comes to prophesying to some folks, they're not even really prophesying stuff that, you know, God is speaking to them. A lot of times they're watching expressions as they're saying certain things, you know, and then reading the people, watching their body language, watching how they, you know, how they respond when certain things are said, so that when they get down to the part where they call themselves ministering to people, well, they already heard, they already watched you. They saw what you were saying amen to. They saw you crying when you started talking about certain issues, you know, so they already know what to speak to you about. They played the game. They played. Look, it's time for us as a church to stop getting played. It's just plain and simple. It's time for us to open our eyes and really hear God and really have a relationship with God and really be who God has called us to be. Let's stop playing games. Let's stop, you know, celebrating these people who are really not following God. And as we read in the scripture, we'll find out, and we're going to find out, and we're going to talk about this even as we go on in the lesson, that this is nothing more than modern-day idolatry. This is what the problem is. We have taken our eyes off of Jesus, and we have put our eyes on these little gods. These little gods running around the country, setting up camp in these different cities and raking the people over the coal. And got folks giving their bill money, money they can't even afford to support their ministries. Amen. So you got to do some word studies. You got to watch got to pray. You got to, amen, hear God, and you got to speak when God tell you to speak, all right? And when you're dealing with this spirit, there's some things that you got to bear in mind. How can I know whether or not I'm dealing with the real ministry or whether I'm dealing with some phony jackleg preacher who really don't love God, who really just out for my pocketbook? Amen. How do I know? Number one, false ministry usually follows behind a true ministry. When we look in the scripture, we see that when Paul went preaching, amen, we saw, amen, the seven sons of Sceva trying to follow behind what he did. When Paul went preaching, we saw that, you know, the sorceress, amen, trying to run behind him, talking about, oh, yes, he's a man of God. He's a man of God. He's anointed of God. Amen. We don't need nobody running behind us saying how anointed we are. Just do what God tells you to do and keep going. There's always some kind of false move that is going to follow behind a true move of God. Watch how God moves. And when you ever see that, you could be in church, and soon as God begin to move and he begin to minister to the people and God begin to meet needs and break yokes and destroy, you know, the powers of the enemy off of the life of people, then you look up and, oh my goodness, here comes some crazy person talking something crazy. False ministry follows behind true ministry. Second thing is, you must take precautions to ensure that you don't fall prey to the spirit. Verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know what it is that draws these people to these crowds? It's because it's the spirit of covetousness. We start preaching things. We start preaching materialism. We start preaching house, car, husband, and just all kind of material things. And because that's really what we've been after, we miss God. And we begin to follow these things. We begin to follow these people. And we listen to them tell us, oh, you want your son saved? Why don't you give $100 in the offering? Oh, you want God to heal your body? I want 50 people to stand up in here and give us $50. Oh, you want God to move? Then you need to plant a seed according to your need. That ain't Bible. Where have you found that in scripture? That is idolatry. All throughout history, people have taken offerings and offered them up to idol gods to try to appease these gods, to try to get these gods to move. Don't you know that the Bible already says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house? I don't have to give no offering for nobody to be saved. I just need to believe God and be saved myself. What is wrong with us following this foolishness? Why don't we call these people on the carpet? Why don't we stop supporting this foolishness? You must make sure that you don't fall prey to the spirit. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in the spirit of covetousness. And it's through covetousness that they gain their constituents. It's through covetousness that they grow their ministries. It is through covetousness that their crowds seem to grow. I watched as one of these preachers were going from place to place having early morning prayer. She can't even get the saints to come to pray at 7 p.m. And she show up and get folks to come to church and pray at 5 a.m. What in the world? It's idolatry. It's idolatry when you will obey your idols before you obey God. It's idolatry. And never, ever, ever let anybody put you on a pedestal. Don't let nobody push you into a place where you get in trouble with God. You know, and I saw somebody try to play that game with me. Let me tell you something. I ain't playing that game. I am not playing that game. Don't try to set me up. Don't try to put me, you know what I'm saying, in no place. Don't try to, you know what I'm saying, try to elevate me above your pastor. I ain't your pastor. Amen. There's no reason in the world if I'm just coming to your church just to minister, you know, for, you know, a week. Or if I come over to your church and I minister for 3 or 4 days, and all of a sudden you follow everything I do and everything I say, but you can't follow your leader. That ain't the right spirit. It's time for some leaders to have some integrity and ask them, are you obedient to your pastor like you follow my instructions? Amen. But because we want to follow it, we dare not do it. Because we love people stroking our ego, we dare not do it. Why am I telling you this? Because the day is coming. You're not going to always just be sitting at the pew, you know, or sitting at your seat in church. God is going to be opening doors for you, and you have got to be able to stand. When you get in the place, amen, and God begins to open doors for you, God is looking for somebody who's going to be able to stand the test. God is looking for somebody who is not going to steal his glory. God is looking for somebody who is not going to fall prey to the praises of the crowd. Where are the people who love God more than they love anything and anybody else? This is what the Lord is looking for. What he's looking for. This is holiness. This is righteousness. And we have no right merchandising the anointing. Next thing, Satan always tries to duplicate what God is doing. If God is moving, then you better believe there's going to be a counterfeit move right behind it. If God is speaking, I mean, all you got to do is look up, you know, and you look up and see it. There is, God has given us gifts to the body of Christ, and likewise, Satan have raised up false prophets. Satan have raised up He have raised up, you know, soothsayers and diviners and people who, you know, are reading palms and all those kind of things. Amen. So there's always a false. There's always a something that the enemy sends to try to duplicate what God is doing. The next thing is most false ministers usually began in the truth. This is the sad thing. This is why I'm saying these things to you, people of God. Don't let yourself get caught up. Deal with your issues now. If you are insecure and you love people praising you now, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that, because if you don't, when God begins to open doors for you, the praises of the people are going to sway you. The praises of the people are going to make you switch your message, and you will preach what the people want to hear instead of what God is telling you to preach. Deal with your insecurities. Deal with those issues that you have on the inside of you. This is what God requires for you to do. If you know that, amen, there's some things in you because of however you may have grown up or whatever you have dealt with, so, you know, you feel, you know, you've had to deal with rejection or whatever the case is, and then when people start accepting you, you just love that and you love attention, you better deal with that spirit. Deal with that spirit. It is important that you deal with this stuff, because we want to be like Jesus. Jesus said the enemy cometh, and when he comes, there is nothing, he have nothing in me. There's nothing in me that belongs to the enemy. I'm not walking in my flesh. I'm not walking in insecurities. I'm not walking in the spirit of rejection. There's nothing that he can tap into in me that's going to sway me and keep me from obeying God. This is what we've got to do. If we're going to be the called of God, if we're going to be God's anointed, if we're going to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, then we got to get this right. Don't merchandise what doesn't belong to you. If you're going to have a tape ministry, I think that's wonderful. But I don't believe that your tape ministry, you shouldn't be selling tapes and CDs for $20 when it costs $20 for a pack of CDs. That's merchandising the anointed. That's taking advantage of God's people. You should charge a reasonable price for your DVDs. We understand those things have to be copied. We understand that it costs money for manufacturing and all those rest of those things. But do you have to charge these rates because you see that's what you know, these big time preachers are doing? You don't have to follow their pattern. Let's have some integrity about our ministry. You have to set out and look at your own motives. Why do you have a tape ministry? Is your tape ministry there to bless the people of God? Or is your tape ministry there because you want to, you know what I'm saying, make some money? You need to question your own motives. You need to ask God to search me. Lord, try me. See if there be in me any wicked way. Okay. The other thing that you gotta bear in mind is that you are not exempt from error. Just because you saved today, just because you're speaking in tongues today, just because you had a prayer today, you had prayer. Praise God, you had prayer. I'm glad you had prayer. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But you are not super Christian. Okay? You are not exempt from falling off the wagon. And because of that, you need to be accountable to somebody else so that when you start getting too big in your britches and your head start getting too big, somebody should be able to say to you, hey, sis, hey, bro, I love you, but you know what? That's just not the right spirit. It's our love for one another. We got to be honest. Amen. Let's look at Galatians 6 and 1 real quick. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we need to think about one another. Think about, Lord, that could be me. Lord, that could be me. Amen. So we got to be honest. We are not super Christian. Amen. So, and you're not Jesus. So get that out of your mind. Amen. This flesh is a mess. And this flesh will have to be dealt with. With our flesh. Amen. Somebody. With our flesh. So this flesh loves to be praised. This flesh loves to be stroked. This flesh loves to be told how wonderful it is. This flesh wants to be told, oh, girl, you look good today. Girl, you was wearing your hair. That hairdo is tight. Those shoes are bad. Girl, you preach. God used you. And we better say to God be the glory, and we better mean it. Hallelujah. And we must consider ourselves, we are looking at those in error. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not, you know, you're not supposed to spare your message because you fear, you know, you're fearful and you think that whatever you're going to say is going to make people angry. Believe me, you start preaching the truth, and we already know this. We start preaching the truth, folks will get mad. Especially if we uncovering them, they ain't going to like it. Or try to find a way to discredit the message. So you as a prophet of God or apostle or evangelist, you got to be mindful of your own surroundings and what you allow yourself to get involved with. This is what I tell the saints. This is what I say to them over and over and over again, and I say it tonight. You are the thermostat. Amen. You're not a thermometer. There's a difference between the two. The thermostat, that's the temperature. The thermometer only tells you what temperature it is. So we're not here just to tell you what temperature it is. We are the thermostat. We are the ones who are supposed to set the tone. We are supposed to set the atmosphere. We are the ones that are supposed to say, this is God and this is not God. That is our job. We are supposed to determine the spiritual climate of any house that God sends us in. These false prophets are out of line. They're out of the will of God, and it is our responsibility to set the house back in order. Now, I'm not telling you go up in there talking about come out devil. You know you a demon. You need to set down. Amen. You know, but there's a way you got to deal with this. Now, if that's the way that you got to deal with it, well, praise the Lord. But, amen, we need to learn how to preach the truth of God's word and not be afraid to preach the truth. And if they don't call you to be their favorite speaker, that's okay. They didn't call on Jesus. And they certainly didn't call on Paul as their favorite speaker either. Amen. And we're not preaching, amen, so that we can see how many open doors we can get in a year. We are preaching because we want to see people's lives transformed. We want to see people healed, delivered, and set free. Amen. We're not coming in to try to tear people down. We want to build people up. But as leaders, Paul talked about that thing. He said that he don't want to preach the gospel and he himself be a castaway. What good is it if we have preached to everybody and we ourselves be lost? What good is it? We got to come to terms with this stuff, people of God. You want to be a leader. You want God to use you. Then you have got to let God deal with every area of your life and do not allow yourself to be bought. And do not merchandise this anointing that God has placed upon your life. It is not for sale. You are not for sale. Your gift is not for sale. There is no price on it. Jesus paid the price. We can't afford it. And so we have to walk as if we can't afford it. We got to walk, amen, in humble submission to our God, knowing that this thing that he has charged us and commissioned us to do, first of all, we already know we're not worthy, but we thank him for counting us worthy. And we want to walk upright before him, and we don't want to bring shame on his name. We want him to be glorified through our life, and we don't want to try to sell everything that God has given us. We selling tapes, we selling books, we selling oil, we selling hair that we done cut out of our head, we selling pieces of our robes we done preached in. What in the world is wrong? Amen. It's idolatry. It is idolatry. Amen. So one of the biggest drawing cords to the false is that those that are anointed for one thing try to do what they have not been called, anointed, or appointed to do. You know, we say this, you know, and we have talked about this before, and, you know, during this class, we got to learn how to abide in our own calling. 1 Corinthians 7 and 20 tells us that. Abide in your own calling. If God hasn't called you, amen, as no prophet, stop trying to do the prophet's job. If you're not the pastor, sit down and wait until God anoints you for what he's called you to do. What causes confusion and problems? Don't try to force yourself into something that God has not anointed you to do. If you don't know what God has called you to do, this is the hour to seek him. Amen. To earnestly seek him with your whole heart to find out what it is that God has called you to do. This is the season to know what it is that the Lord has anointed. You don't have to just be a copycat and follow what everybody else is doing. To find out what God is desiring of you. Amen. Let's look, amen, in the book of Colossians. We're going to the next segment here. Merchandising the Anointing, Part 2, The Age of Balaam. Amen. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5. This thing is just, I just really feel strongly about this because I've been so grieved watching God's people being taken advantage of, you know. And there's some things that, you know, and I know that, you know, God deals with all his people. And I know, amen, the prophets of God get angry when they see people, amen, not walking upright. And true prophets can't stand injustice. So true prophets can't stand when they see false people standing up and you know, purporting themselves to be something, and they know that they're not really walking upright and not really doing what they say they're doing, and people are being taken advantage of. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God for us to sit back and be idle while these people take advantage of others. Folks are dying and going to hell every moment. So we have got to get to the place where we do not just sit by idly and just let whatever happens happen, but we have got to lift up our voice like a trumpet, amen, and we have got to cry against unrighteousness. You don't have to be a prophet to cry against unrighteousness. Amen. If you are a child of God and you've been called of God, then you should, amen, be grieved when God is not being glorified. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Amen. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That takes us back to what we were saying earlier, that this is the issue. The issue is not so much that we are just really trying to follow God, but the issue is, the reason that we are being sucked into this foolishness that's taking place is because of covetousness. And this covetousness, the Bible says, is really idolatry. It's idolatry. Amen. What is idolatry? And you have to, amen, have an understanding of what idolatry is. Amen. And we're going to get into that. Amen. What is idolatry? Idolatry is not just bowing down before some altar. Amen. Anything that you give precedence more than you give to God, if you worship that thing more than you worship God, then that thing becomes your idol. If you put your temper and your attitude above God, then that has become your idol. Amen. So if we're going to understand what is really going on, then we need to have a little crash course in idolatry, learning what it is. What is idolatry? How do I know if I'm participating in or in encouraging idolatry? What is classified as idolatry? How do I know that something that I'm doing or that somebody else is doing is idolatry? And how do I avoid those traps? How do I stay away from idolatry? And I really cannot overemphasize it because, you know, the reality is when God begins to use, especially when the Lord uses you to minister to people who are hurt and broken and have been destitute and have been mistreated and have been misused. You know, when God allows you to minister to these people who have come through great testing and great trial and, you know, great disappointments in life, when these things happen, these people love you. When you love people, they love you back. And that's the reality. But what we have to learn how to do is keep a balance. Don't allow ourselves to be set up on a pedestal. You know, that, and we talked about that some time ago. You know, pedestals are created for our trophies and for our idols. That's the place you show off, you know, the thing that you're most proud of. A pedestal. That's what a pedestal is made for. So we don't want anybody to, you know, take the things that God has allowed us to do by his grace and by his anointing and then let us act like it's something that we have done. We don't want to steal God's glory. Amen. So let's talk about this idolatry. Idolatry is the worship of another god or of objects, symbols, people, accomplishments, concepts, and ideals considered superior to that of the worshiper. So it's the person who is worshiping this thing or this person. One person worshiping another person because they feel like that person is greater than them. Amen. They have become devoted to that person. I don't care where they go, where that person preach, they're going to go. That's how come we can get up at 5 a.m. for this, for somebody else's ministry, but we can't go to prayer at our own church. That's how come we can fast, amen, with a ministry that we watch on television, but we can't fast with our church at home. And that's not the will of God. Your pastor is feeding you Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Friday and whatever other service day. And you mean to tell me you can't get on one accord with the body that you coming to receive feed your spiritual nourishment from? That's not the right spirit. That is a sure sign that somebody is walking in idolatry. Amen. So it's obeisance and subservience paid to a deity or objects and places governed by a false god. So you have to understand that there is still the spirit of idolatry that is behind us, amen, venerating other people and putting them on the pedestal where they don't belong. Okay. Idolatry, simply put, implies a self-idolizing, grasping spirit. Far worse than the other Greek term that's translated love of money. Self and mammon are deified in the heart instead of God. So it's what I want to do, how I feel. My feelings was hurt, so because my feelings hurt, I don't want to be bothered. It's when you put yourself and your emotions and what you desire and what you want to go after, that's when you put all of those things before God. And then when you start talking about idolatry, it's a self-idolizing, a self-grasping spirit. That means it's that covetous spirit, that spirit that goes after whatever your eyes catch hold of. Whatever I see, that's what I want. And if I want it bad enough, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I get it. And I've heard messages like that. Don't stop till you get what you want. And God is going to give me what I want. And you got the right to command God. But, I mean, what kind of life are we living if we're talking about we're going to be commanding God? We can't be living shabby and then think we're going to tell God what we want. I don't think so. Amen. So do you love yourself and your desires so much that you're willing to put your soul in jeopardy for it? Is your desire to make it big so important that you will risk life and limb, loved one, and your soul for it? It sounds irrational, but in this age of me, that's exactly what we see and take place. We don't preach to reach souls anymore. We preach to reach the elite. We want to take our videos and send them over to the big wigs because if they find out how good God uses me and how much I preach and how anointed I am, then I know they're going to open the door for me. I used to hear this brother, he was, you know, over here near us, and he used to talk about how he know God going to send him to TBN, and God spoke to him and told me he's going to TBN. Like, that's the pinnacle of his arrival is, I'm going to TBN. I said I'm going to be on TBN. Let me tell you something. If you don't ever get a spot on TBN, you better preach this gospel. You better preach what God tell you to preach. If you don't ever get a spot on the Word Network, you don't ever get a spot, amen, on the Celebration program, what is that, Daystar Network, you better preach this gospel to as many people as will hear you. That is what God has charged you to do. We have lost our drive for God and the things of God, and now we just want things. You know, we're going to get back to getting just, you know, we want God. Not things, but we need to have, we want God. We will sell our souls to the highest bidder, or should I say, to him that pays the highest honorarium. And we've already talked about that, so there's no need for me to backtrack on that. Okay, so what do you mean, are not worth the money? Shouldn't I get what I'm worth? No, and so we got to think about that. We talked about that. This is not your gift. God has is the one who anointed you. It's God's gift. So what are you giving God? You want them to pay your honorarium, but what are you giving God in exchange for your gift? So, and I mean, we had a brother one time, and I think I shared this with some of you before, and he was right here locally, here in North Carolina. So, and we had, you know, the sister call him and invite him to come to our church to minister. And he started asking her all these questions. Then he started saying, well, how are y'all going to do the offering? Because, you know, I like to take up the offering when I'm preaching or whatever, whatever. And so he started specifying a specific amount of money or whatever, whatever. So she called me about that. And I told her, I said, well, you do me a favor. You tell him to call me. And so he called. And I'm talking to him. And I said, well, let me explain something. We don't do that to the people of God here. You are our guest. And we take up the offering here. You know, we invited you here. Now, if you can't come and the saints of God bless you with whatever they could bless you with, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're welcome to decline this offer for you to come here and minister. You know what I'm saying? But if you come in here for money, then you're not welcome here. Because we're not going to allow anybody to just come in here and fleece God's people, you know what I'm saying, and try to get over here to get no offering and all the rest of that, you know. And so he tried to explain to me, well, you know, I went out of state, blah, 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 and they did this to me and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to explain to him, but you're not going out of state. Our church is down the street from yours. So how in the world are you trying to charge, you trying to make sure that you're the one who take up the offering because of what somebody else did to you, and because you feel you are so gifted that you should be able to have control of the offering so you can see what people are putting in the basket before you all come to a church and preach. No, 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 brother, we don't need you to come. We don't need you to come. Uh-uh. And I'm telling you something. I ain't take back. I ain't playing these games. These are games. We're not playing these games. These are God's people. God hold us accountable for who we bring in to minister to his people. And if we're going to play the money game, then we don't need to be doing this. What is our true motive behind why we are serving God and why we are preaching this gospel? This whole segment is on how you govern yourself as a leader in the body of Christ. How are you going to govern yourself concerning the message that God has given you? What are you going to do with this message that God has given you? And how are you going to behave yourself if people don't want to pay you for what you preach? What if you go somewhere and preach and they don't give you anything? What are you going to do? Are you going to stop preaching? Or are you going to give up on folks? You're going to tell them off because they didn't give you no offer? What are you going to do? And these are questions that we need to answer because, you know what I'm saying, this is the age in which we live. This is a big deal. Are you not going to be able to minister to them because of what it is that you want? So it's not about what are you worth, but you have to begin to ask yourself, God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, if you open this door, help me, God, that I walk in integrity and that I give you glory in all that I'm doing here. Amen. When we start talking about the age of Balaam, Amen. We are talking about, first of all, let me give you a definition for age. In prophetics, references to age carry two meanings. Number one, the period of time in which prophetic revelation being conveyed is set. And then two, the number of years a person, place, or thing has been alive or in existence. And the second half of that definition is the degree of seasoning an object has reached to attain maturity. This is the age, amen, that this spirit has come to maturity. The age of the spirit of Balaam. That spirit have come to the forefront, has come, amen, to maturity, have come to, amen, its fullness, where now this is the big deal. We will not come unless we get paid, and you have got to meet all my conditions. And if you don't meet my conditions, then I'm sorry, I'm not coming. And that is the spirit that we have to combat. And you got to remember, you need to do some study and look at what Balaam was and who he was. And we're going to look at that briefly. Okay? And I don't want y'all to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to tell you, and I'm going to reiterate this. I'm not trying to tell you that you can't, you know, be blessed and nobody can give you an offering when you go and minister at their church. But I'm saying to you, don't let that be your reason for why you're going. Don't let it be that, oh my God, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to go and preach and blah, blah. Let me tell you something. The Lord blessed, amen. I remember one time, and I was scared out of my wits because I knew that what the Lord had told me to say wasn't pretty. And these people come on TV today. They come on the Word, I mean, not the Word Network. They do come on the Word Network, but they also mainly come on the Daystar Network. They come on Daystar Network every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And they were having a women's conference, and the pastor's wife over there asked me to come and preach for the women's conference. And I was scared out of my wits because this is the biggest church I've ever had to go to preach. These people have thousands of members. And I was afraid to go in there because I knew, you know, after I began to seek the Lord, I was like, okay, God, you want me to go up in here and say this? And I said what the Lord told me to say, and I've never been so ready to leave in all my life. It was all the way in Texas. And I was like, God, you got to help me because I'm ready to get out of here. And these people were mad. They were so mad that the pastor, when he got a chance to get up there and got a hold of that mic, he started rebutting what I was preaching about. Because he didn't appreciate me preaching sin. And this is supposed to be a holiness church. Let me tell you something. I had my ticket, and I did not care. I paid for my own ticket there and back. Because I am not going to let somebody tell me what I could preach when I know what God has put in my mouth. Now, either we want to bring back the truth and bring back God's word, or we don't want to have service. We don't really want to have, amen, church like we say we do. I'm not talking about I went up and they're talking about, oh, y'all a bunch of devils and all the rest of that. No, but I'm telling you, and God ministered to those people, and those people came to that altar, and they, and some of them folks got saved and got delivered. But you know what? We got to get to the place where we're not going to let nobody put no price on our head. I don't care how big your church is. I don't care how many people you have. Are you going to serve God? Are you going to change your message because you're afraid that they're going to hold back their offering? Are you going to change your message because you're afraid that, you know what I'm saying, this is not a popular message, God, they may not want to hear it. Amen. You have got to be set, amen, that you're going to obey what God tells you to be and to say. Amen. Colossians talks about that spirit of covetousness, amen, and that idolatry. Let's look real quick, amen, Numbers chapter 22. I know that this is lengthy, amen, but we got to cover this. You all, amen, some of y'all already in ministry and doing different things in ministry, and some of you are not yet walking, amen, in the fullness of what God has called you to do. And for you that are not, and for those of you that are already doing ministry, you have got to set a standard. This is your admonition tonight, that you would set a standard for yourself. Ask God, what does he want you to do? And follow what God wants you to do. Don't do things just because everybody else is doing. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Let's follow God. Let's obey God. Let's think about, amen, ministering to people that their lives be transformed. Let's not be caught up in covetousness and idolatry. Let's not let people put us on a pedestal to where we will do what they want us to do and not obey what God wants us to do.
Yes, the Lord loves us, and he loves his people, and he wants to see his people healed, delivered, saved, and set free. But if we are going in there with ulterior motives, then people's lives are not going to be transformed, and God is going to hold us accountable for that. This is not the spirit of God. God does not want us, amen, to walk away from the table, amen, and people's lives are not transformed. We can't do things our way. We got to do things God's way. This is what the whole idea was about Balaam. Let's look at Numbers 22, verses 7 through 11. And it says, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent them unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And as you look in this chapter, before you get to verse 7, you will see that Balaam had already sent message to Balak and told him that I cannot curse them because God has blessed them. So what happened was, when Balaam looked at these men, look at the first part of this verse. It says in verse 7, "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand." Balaam saw the gifts that they had. And even though God had already given him instruction, and even though God had already told him that you cannot curse these people, these are my people, Balaam looked at what these elders had in their hand, and he was trying to move the hand of God because he wanted these rewards of divination. This right here in the Bible tells us that these things that have been written in the Old Testament have been written for our example. Understand this. Money, when you need, especially you got a need and it's urgent, the enemy will try to buy you. Don't let the enemy buy you. This is what I'm talking about when I say preachers for hire. This is the age of Balaam. This is the spirit of Balaam, that if you got the right price, then I will do what you want me to do. Balaam made that mistake. He already knew. God had already given him instruction. Amen. Look at verse 5. "He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there the people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and him whom thou cursest is cursed." Here he goes. First of all, he tried by trying to blow his head up. Look, we already know that whatever you say is going to come to pass. This is what I'm talking about people trying to put you on a pedestal. Don't let the praises of people make you miss God. Verse 9 tells us, "And God came unto Balaam and said, What are these men with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent them unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." You read this chapter, and you will see that Balaam refused to hear what God was saying. And these men came back, amen, and they kept trying to be persistent. Read this 22nd chapter. And it got to the place that Balaam didn't even want to hear God, because Balaam he wanted these gifts. And he almost lost his life because of it. Because he wanted these rewards of divination. Don't let gifts coming from people, amen, cause you to be sidetracked so that you can't obey God and deliver what God has told you to deliver. Amen. I know that this is lengthy, amen, and I'm covering a lot of things here, but you got to understand, God is looking for you to walk in integrity. God is looking for you, amen, to be the one that he can count on, that you're not going to be bought for no price because Jesus has already paid the price for you. That you're not going to look at things, amen, and be caught up with the spirit of covetousness, amen, and find yourself following after the things of this world because people have seduced you with things. Amen. This right here, these verses reflect his attitude. He was a prophet for hire. He already knew what God said. But he refused to hear the word of the Lord. He was going to keep going back to God, trying to get God to curse the people because he wanted to do what somebody else wanted him to do. That's not right. Amen. There are conferences where you can go to and you can pay your registration. And only those people who pay registration are allowed to be in what they call prophetic flow. This is the same spirit. And they got people who call themselves prophets, and they will prophesy to you at will. They even make it convenient, and they put it on tape for you. Okay? And I'm not trying to tell you that people cannot prophesy to you or whatever, but you got to always try the spirit behind the spirit. And why is it that this part of the service is only open to people who pay their money? Amen. Freely have received. If you don't take anything else away from tonight's lesson, freely you have received, freely give. Resist idolatry. Resist covetousness. Don't be bought by this world. Don't be bought by other people. Don't be bought. Don't follow, amen, after the rudiments of this world. Amen. We already know 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Amen. The only thing that's going to last forever, the word of God. And your life, your ministry, your foundation, everything you have must be built upon the word of God and the precepts of the word of God and nothing else. People of God, I pray that, amen, that you, amen, learn something from this class, that these particular classes that you have, amen, have been engaging in, that you have been challenged, amen, that you haven't just been given, amen, something to tickle your fancy, amen, just to say, oh, well, yeah, I went through school of prophets, but you have to be challenged, amen, to walk in integrity as men and women of God. Whatever doors God opened for you, never forget that it is God who opened the door. Never forget that it's the Lord who has called you. Never forget that the gifts belong to God. When you get the chance, sit down and read the whole chapter of Numbers 22. Look at Balaam's behavior. Please don't follow Balaam's behavior. Please don't do what you saw Balaam do. Don't be a false prophet just because somebody else wants you to be. Let's obey God. Our whole heart. Let's be the ones, amen. Let's be the ones, amen, just like on the football team, amen. When you're watching a good game, and I don't really understand that much about football, but I know that in the first half of the game, they sometimes let the good players play. And then as the game goes on, they pull them out. And then when they start getting down to the last end of the game, the last half of the game, where it's really tight, they send out the best players. Because that coach knows that he can count on those players, those good players, to bring the ball home for the team. Let me tell you something. That is just the way that God is. He has saved the best for last. The Lord is sending out the best players. Amen. And you are those best players. God have allowed you, amen, to be here for such a time as this because he wants you to be prepared, amen, to bring home the ball for the team. Amen. What is the ball? It is souls for the kingdom of God. God is counting on you to walk in integrity. He is counting on you to carry his message and don't let it be tainted by anybody else in this world. God is counting on you to let, amen, let him be glorified through you and not be, amen, swayed by these gifts of divination. The Lord is counting on you. He's looking for you to bring home the ball for the team. He has given you his gifts and equipped you with everything that you need. Count on you, amen, to do what he's called you to do. Integrity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. God, I honor you, Lord, and magnify you for this teacher, for this class. I thank you, God, for these people, God, your people, Lord, that you have allowed us to come together and fellowship one with another. Father, I pray for each and every one of them, those that were on the line and had to get off for whatever reason, and those that are still on the line right now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would speak, oh God, to the hearts of your people, that you